KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Mostly clear skies and 25 degrees your temperature here at the KJN studios. Today we look for mostly sunny skies and windy conditions with a high of 38. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news here on KJAN. As many as 150 juveniles in Iowa prisons for felonies, including kidnapping and attempted murder, will get their sentences shortened by years as a result of an Iowa Supreme Court decision. The court ruled Friday that juveniles convicted of forcible felonies who had been resentenced from mandatory minimum terms to sentences with a set period of years should be given credit for good behavior at a much faster pace. It's tied to a 2014 decision in which the court struck down as unconstitutional mandatory minimum sentences for juveniles. Inmates serving mandatory minimum sentences of four forcible felonies must serve at least 85% of their sentence, even when time is credited for good behavior. The court's ruling means that juveniles who can't serve mandatory sentences get accelerated time for good behavior and can get out after serving 45% of their original sentence. For example, a juvenile sentenced to 10 years for robbery could be released after 4.5 years, while an adult must serve 8.5 years for that same crime. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said Friday a Western Iowa man was sentenced on Thursday to prison for possession of child pornography. 33-year-old Stephen Robert Hill, a former Missouri Valley resident, was sentenced by Chief United States District Court Judge John A. Jarvie to 4.5 years in prison to be followed by 15 years of supervised release for possession of child pornography. He entered a guilty plea to the charge on June 9th of this year. The investigation began with a report of domestic assault involving Hill as a victim. During the investigation, law enforcement learned that Hill was in possession of child porn. A search of Hill's residence located data storage devices that contained child pornography images. Shortly after law enforcement obtained the images, Hill moved to the state of Washington. The investigation was conducted by the Missouri Valley Police Department, the Iowa Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. The case was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. Linn County's top prosecutor is calling for a grand jury investigation into the police shooting of a man earlier this month. Television station KCRG reports that County Attorney Jerry Vandersanden said Friday in a news release that it would be in the public interest for the grand jury of Linn County to inquire into the circumstances to determine whether criminal charges are warranted. The Iowa Department of Public Safety has said that Cedar Rapids Officer Lucas Jones fired at Jeremy Mitchell on November 1st near Coe College, hitting Mitchell in the neck and seriously injuring him. The agency says the shooting came during an altercation. The city has confirmed squad car video of the shooting exists, but has refused to release it to the public. Iowa's unemployment rate dropped slightly in October to 4.1%, but an official warns the decline could be temporary. Iowa Workforce Development Director Beth Townsend says the unemployment rate drop announced Friday came despite layoffs in construction and manufacturing companies. She says that could make the decline only a temporary reprieve. Townsend notes, however, that Iowa has jobs available, so those affected by layoffs should be able to find other work. During October, the number of unemployed residents dropped to 70,300. The total number of Iowa workers climbed to 1,655,200. Iowa's unemployment rate compares to a national rate of 4.9%. A year ago, Iowa's unemployment rate was at 3.5%. A federal appeals court has rejected a lawsuit by six states, including Iowa, challenging a California law that prohibits the sale of eggs from chickens that are not raised in accordance with strict space requirements. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Thursday that the states failed to show how the law would affect them and not just individual egg farmers. California voters approved a ballot initiative in 2008 that required that egg-laying hens in the state spend most of their day with enough space to allow them to lie down, stand up, turn around, and fully extend their limbs. In 2010, California legislators expanded the law to ban the sale of eggs from any hens that were not raised in compliance with the standard. An environmental collaborative is asking the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to push Iowa and nine other Mississippi River states to address pollution in the river. The Des Moines Register reports that the Mississippi River Collaborative says the EPA has failed to require enforceable regulations, deadlines, or funding to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus pollution. The pollution contributes to the Gulf of Mexico's dead zone, an area that's unable to support aquatic life. The Environmental Collaborative looked at clean water efforts in Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Its report calls the EPA's efforts weak and ineffective. The collaborative represents 13 environmental and legal groups, including the Iowa Environmental Council. The Iowa Utilities Board heard an update on the progress of the Dakota Access Pipeline through the state and complaints from those who oppose it at their meeting on Thursday. The IUB attorney David Lynch says the latest progress report gave the latest progress report from the company.
It indicates that 99% of the pipeline in Iowa has been lowered into the trench, and 96% of that trench has been backfilled. Only Buena Vista and Cherokee counties are not yet complete to that stage.
Work is more than halfway done in finishing up construction.
The report also indicates that 52% of the cleanup and land restoration is complete, while 61% of the pipeline in Iowa has been hydrostatically tested.
And Lynch told the three board members information from the board has been filed in the lawsuit against the pipeline. He says those who filed the lawsuit have until next Monday, November 21st, to file their reply briefs, and the oral arguments before the district court are set for December 15th still. He says they received three more complaints about the pipeline since the last meeting.
This gives us a total of 23 inquiries or complaints that have been filed since the first one on March 31st, 2016. 15 of those 23 have been closed, and 8 of them are still in process. Most of those are at the stage of a proposed resolution being drafted.
The board heard from two representatives of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. Mark Edwards talked about concerns that the pipeline workers did not drain water away from the areas where they worked. He told the board it was difficult to get complaints addressed and says the County Board of Supervisors did not want to take action because they were afraid of being sued.
I could go on with further examples, going down this rabbit hole of this public plunder for private gain, but it has been clear from the beginning that this is a rigged game. Three politically appointed people have been given the power to risk the public waters, land, and navigate private landowner rights. These proceedings have been quite the education and clearly illustrate we have little hope in our government to protect our rights, our land, and our water.
Carolyn Raffensperger also spoke about what she says are violations by the construction company, including continuing construction on land that was inundated with water.
What we have seen is that they have violated the largest commitments that they made and down to the smallest ones. What we now know is that this is a rule of money rather than the rule of law. If there is no monitoring and no enforcement of your regulations, of the rules that you put in place, then it has no meaning whatsoever.
Raffensperger made another plea for the construction to stop.
What we're asking you today is to put on hold the rest of the construction. They are not done with construction in two counties. They have not completed the boring under the Des Moines River. That is not complete. We ask that you put that on hold and that you stop this construction until your rules have been followed.
The IUB also heard from people about the pipeline during their public comment period. They listened for around 30 minutes to comments of those who are opposed to the pipeline. The board did not give any response to those comments. That's a look at some of the latest in news here on KJN. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Yvonne Greenwalt of Phoenix, Arizona, and formerly of Atlantic, died October 29th. Memorial services for Yvonne Greenwalt will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Atlantic United Methodist Church. Interment will follow at the Atlantic Cemetery. Reverend Lewis Miller, age 99, of Manning, died November 10th at the Manning Plaza. Funeral services for Reverend Lewis Miller will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Calvary Baptist Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Bryce Wayne Albright, age 17, of Shelby, died Sunday at home in Shelby. Funeral services for Bryce Wayne Albright will be held today at 11 a.m. at the AHSTW School in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Gilbert Hare, age 97, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Gilbert Hare will be held today at 1:30 p.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home Fontenelle has arrangements. Eileen Smith, age 85, of Council Bluffs, died November 8th in Omaha. A memorial service for Eileen Smith will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Oakland Community Building in Oakland. A reception with the family will follow at the community building. Recon Veith Funeral Home in Oakland is assisting the family with arrangements. And Marion Reimer, age 89, of Atlantic, died November 11th at the Heritage House. Memorial services for Marion Reimer will be held on November 26th at 10 a.m. at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.